Well, I literally cannot go another moment without asking Christine how the audition for the adult diaper went. Mm-hmm. Christine, lay it on us.
Okay. Well, I arrived to the studio and because of, you know, social distancing, they had only a few people in there. Very often on commercial auditions, I always feel like it's either me and everybody else that looks like me, or me and nobody else looks at me. So I'm either like exactly what they're looking for, or I'm the wild card. And I think in this instance, I was the wild card, at least in my group, because it was myself and about five or six other quite large Black women. So I was their, I think, white option for that time slot. Everybody was lovely. Everybody that was there auditioning was lovely, very friendly, but you literally had to go, they like asked you all of your measurements, then you had to go into this private little room and they handed you an adult diaper and then made you go into another room and put it on without your underwear, which I thought was interesting because they asked you to wear like nude underwear. And then you were asked to go into another room where they took video and pictures of you in your adult diaper and a white fitted shirt.
Okay, so did it go well as auditions go? Did it go well? Were they like, thank you, don't call us, we'll call you?
Those type auditions, it literally is like you go in, they take a picture of you and it's like, thank you. I mean, it's just mm-hmm. they want to see you in the product.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. My God. So, I mean, the $1 million question is, did you have a full release in the diaper?
I did not, only because I knew I wanted to take the diaper home so that when I visit you next weekend, I could wear it at some point.
Good. Good
which is
to
what
know.
I've done.
Good to know. Hilarious. I love that. Oh, you guys, by the way, we started the podcast right on time. Look who's decided to join us. It's Scott Sheldon. So Scott will be joining us in progress. Well, Christine, that sounds amazing. Congratulations. That's hilarious.
But I have not heard, so I would assume safely that I will not be featured in the next not-to-be-named product.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to say again, I think it depends. You know, let's give it a few days and see.
We'll have some hope.
Yeah. Yeah. Holding out for hero. You know what I mean? Yeah. Hey, Scott, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks. I'm having a little trouble with my microphone right now.
You sound very far away. Scott joining us from a cave in the hinterlands of Sherman Oaks. Yeah. Well, that's hilarious, Christine. I can't wait to see you on the side of a, you know, giant billboard wearing, I hope actually they just like, it's only just body shots and you're like, that's my ass in a diaper, you know, hilarious. So good. All right, y'all, let's start the podcast.
Truth be told, I always wanted to host The View, but I don't exactly meet the lady requirement. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get my friends together and we're going to start a podcast. Hello, I am Jim Lanahan and these are my friends. Ready? Let's go.
Hello, hello. This is episode 78 of the Jim Lanahan and Friends podcast. Let's say hello to the friends, Christine Sinicor.
Hello.
Dr. Jean-Paul Higgins.
How you doing?
Scott Sheldon.
Hello there.
And producer Stephanie Laffin.
Hi, honey.
Gang's all here for the second to last show before hiatus. How's everyone doing?
Pretty good. Good.
Well, I've had a triumphant return from Saratoga.
Yes, Stephanie was in the homeland this weekend. She sent me pictures of the house I grew up in. She sent us pictures of the house Christine grew up in. You went to Stewart's. Give us the highlight of the weekend in terms of food. What was the highlight?
Oh, in terms of food, was that Anne and John, her husband,
mm-hmm.
and being Scott's sister, they made the burger pods from Disney World phenomenal. They're like, it's from Disney World, John, so not Disneyland. It's burger. There, so. Yeah, it's burger. It's from Pandora, they told me, that area of Disney World. Man, they were delicious. But I had Stewart's ice cream. We walked
the highlight was, so the highlight was Stewart's chocolate chip cookies. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you.
As you saw in the video, the family voted on Fryhoffers.
How I know. I got to tell you, that is a mistake, unfortunately. It depends on which Fryhoffers cookies you got. Did they tell you that there's a new recipe and an old recipe? Or did they just neglect the history of the Fryhoffer Baking Corporation?
Well,
what color was the box, Stephanie?
As you
Stephanie,
know,
this is the people's court when it comes to cookies. You can't screw this up. Stephanie, what color was the box? I need to know the truth. Stephanie, like you can't handle the truth.
Jim, I'm trying to tell you. They were like a reddish brown, the box, and then the mm-hmm. Stewart's box was white. But the thing of it is we did try three different ice cream flavors, which were phenomenal. Next time I'm getting some baked goods, and they have a thing called a crumb catcher around the baked goods. I tried to get their espresso chiller, but Ashley at the counter did not know what the hell I was talking about today. But I had the best time. We want to go back to see the library and the Performing Arts Center that your mother ran. It is an adorable, gorgeous village. We love you so much. We Ann and I had the best time looking around your neighborhood. And then we found Christine's house and we just had a blast. Mm-hmm. We're so glad you shared yourselves with us and we can't wait to go again.
It's super cute there, isn't it? It's
wonderful.
Crazy.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's really cute. And thanks for sending the pictures. I can't believe that they haven't changed my mom's house.
No, like, not at all.
The colors, I don't think they even painted it. It's crazy. All right. Well, guess what's up first, y'all? We got a nosh.
Yeah, you got that yummy, 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 yummy.
I can't go to Taco Bell. I'm on an all-carb diet. God, Karen, you are so stupid.
All right, Stephanie, what do we got this week?
Well, again, from the Coastal Bay Company, which we found out is really made by the parent company of Dollar Tree, we've got some spice straps.
Okay, so I'm opening mine up. I gotta tell you. Uh-huh. A real hot mic I got today, isn't it? It's a hot mic. So the spice drops are little gumdrops, but they're the mm-hmm. spicy gumdrops and they're covered in sugar. Mm-hmm. I have some purple, yellow, white, orange, red, green.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. These ones are more like cinnamony.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We talked about this product briefly last week because Christine said... Mm-hmm. Mm. Have you ever had the spicy jelly beans? Those were always a favorite growing up. And I was like, no, I don't like those.
Yeah, you were very clear on that.
But she likes them. Christine, lead us through it. Why do you like any spicy gummy product?
Well, I want to warn you ahead of time. The purple one is like licorice-y flavored. So you're going to want to throw that one directly in the trash. I like the consistency of it. It's chewy and it's got the sugary outside and they each have a slightly different flavor and it's got a little bit of the like the cinnamony spicy. The white ones are my favorite.
Mm-hmm. It's got like a clove base, I think.
Yeah, it's the...
Mm-hmm.
DJP mm. hates it.
Mm-hmm.
Hates Dr. John Paul, how do you feel about this?
You know what? I am fat and will eat almost anything, but those are definitely on my list of nope.
Here's the thing. It's not your flavor palette at all.
Mm, no, ma'am. I took one bite and said, and good day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Scott Sheldon, what do you think about it?
No. They taste horrible.
Mm-hmm.
They remind me of my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, mm-mm.
No.
Mm. I'm going to tell you this.
Sunroom.
They do remind me of my grandma, too. My father's grandmother, my Grammy, as we called her. She would have these in a dish in her beautiful marble top coffee tables. And yeah, they're complete crap. It's horrible. It's not sweet. It's not a real spice. It's like an artificial spice flavor for me. It doesn't name that spice. It's an artificial flavor, and I just don't enjoy it very much. Ironically, Christine, the purple is my favorite because at least it's kind of licorice-y, which is a flavor I can get behind in my normal candy life. But if I pop this orange in my mouth, and then it's got that weird, like, it's almost clovey.
Yeah.
I don't know what to, it doesn't, you know what it is? It's a disconnect in my brain.
You know what's interesting, though? I saved the white for last because it was always my favorite. But this is not the flavor, because this is minty. And the ones when I was growing up, the white ones were not minty. They had like more of like a clovey type taste. So I don't know if they maybe changed the recipe. Because I do not like this white one.
Christine, why is white got to be your favorite?
Okay. Yeah.
I think we all know.
Got to be white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Remember last episode when I kept saying, Christine, Dr. John's sitting right there. I heard it back this week and I was giggling how stupid it was. Because I would say it at the stupidest things. Like you would be like, oh, I really like the color of my living room. It's a deep, dark orange. Christine, Dr. John is sitting right there.
You know what? There's a menthol aspect to it, too.
Oh, Stephanie pulling us right back on track. Stephanie's like, no time for your chatter.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if they changed the flavors because this is not what I... the flavor that I grew up on. Unless it's a different brand I grew up on. I don't know.
Maybe the Brock's versus the Coastal Creations.
Oh, yeah. It was the Brock's that we always had. So maybe that's it.
Well, people, I am now going to commence voting. And I'm going to start with Dr. John Paul, who just demonstratively threw their spice drops into the garbage. It wasn't just John took their arm and kind of did a flourishy motion so we would all see it in the Zoom room. And then they dropped it right in the garbage. So John, on a 0 to 10 on the iced coffee scale, 10, of course, being the most delicious thing you've ever had in your mouth, 0 being the absolute worst thing you've ever had in your mouth, including that time Stephanie made us try Mexican candies covered in tahine. How many iced coffees do you give the spice drops?
So I know we need to hurry up, but I'm going to go ahead and say this. A little known fact about me is that I absolutely loathe Mimi's Cafe. I think their food is disgusting. I think that everything on their menu is just gross.
The bread does?
Disgusting. Those drops were worse than Mimi's Cafe. So I give it a 2.
That is 2 iced coffees from Dr. John Paul Higgins.
Negative 2.
Oh. Wow.
Negative 2 iced coffees. So we are starting in a deficit position.
Some negative serious math.
Mm-hmm. All right. Moving over to Scott Sheldon. How many iced coffees do you give the Coastal Brands Dollar Store Spice Drops?
I've never actually been to a Mimi's Cafe, but I'm going to give it a 1.
All right. So that's a 1 from Scott Sheldon. We are currently at -1 on the iced coffee scale. I'm going to save Christine for last. I have been to Mimi's. I used to go to lunch there when I worked in Maryland. And the only thing I could eat is the turkey croissant sandwich. But I didn't understand how you would give me like ham and turkey and cheese and vegetables on a croissant and not warm it up at all. Like it was cold and stiff and the croissant was like, yeah, like too bready. And it would just, So I'm going to give Mimi's a 0 iced coffee and I'm going to give the spice drops, I'm going to give them 2 iced coffees.
Wow.
I did enjoy the purple ones. So I just divided and conquered and I prorated my 10. So that is currently a 1 total iced coffee for 3 votes. And now we move into spicy lover, Christine Sinicor.
I do have to say that these are nowhere near as good as the Brock's one. So I would love to actually have a rematch with the Brock's ones, because you may still not like them, but I feel like those flavors were better. And I think didn't love these, but I think just out of spite and the breaking of the scale, I'm just going to give it a 25.
All right. So that puts us at 26 total iced coffees. And there are four of us voting today, so that wraps it down to a 6 average iced coffee. Stephanie, you've not done it again. I would be interested in knowing if Brock's makes them still, the spice drops, because I don't think I've seen them in, at least 10 years, maybe 15 years.
Yeah, I haven't bought them as an adult, but I always...
Probably got rid of them because no one buys them because they're gross. Just saying, it's probably what happened.
They do. They still make them.
You shut up. Thank you, Stephanie. Yeah, you got that yummy,
yummy, yummy, yummy, yummy, yummy. I can't go to Taco Bell. I'm on an all-carb diet. God, Karen, you are so stupid.
All right. So the next part of the show, I think, is a surprise. All I know is that there are people in the waiting room right now, and I don't know who it is, and Stephanie has a shit-eating grin on her face. So, Stephanie, is there something you want to tell us?
Yes. So, we're heading into the end of our first season. We started on Instagram Live and we've made it through over 70 episodes. And I really felt that I wanted to end this first season with a bang, with a surprise, with something really special for Jim Lanahan.
A bang? Are we going to do it?
Not with these guests.
Oh, okay.
So, Jimmy, what you're about to experience is one of my surprise is for you, Jimmy Lanahan. This is your life, and your interviewer today will be our favorite, the loves of our life, Beth Maitland.
We'll be asking you the questions. I love Beth
Maitland! Emmy winner Beth Maitland is going to ask you the questions. We're turning the tables today.
Oh my God. I love me some Beth Maitland. Friend of the podcast, Beth Maitland. And I adore her. They're coming in now. Hi, Beth.
Hi. Surprise, Jimmy. Hi.
Oh my gosh. The best surprise ever. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. Are you home?
I am. I'm always home. Yes, I'm home. I'm tucked into my little living room.
Oh my gosh. We haven't talked to you in a few months since you were on the podcast last. How are things going?
Things are fantastic. Thank you. You know, it's a beautiful Sunday afternoon in the Central Coast. How could things not be going great? You know, I am surrounded by my pets and my little projects, and I've got plenty of things to do and learn and be grateful for. So I'm so excited to be here. I was thinking about this for quite a while because I knew that I was going to be a little bit of a surprise for you. I was thinking, you know, what do I like so much about being on Jim Lanahan and Friends? And I was thinking, you know, you're one of my one of my favorite people to be interviewed by, because you have some really interesting and precious qualities. You have this sort of, I don't want to say joie de vivre and get all lofty, but you have this innocent enthusiasm that is absolutely contagious. You, as a listener, as a friend on the other side of a microphone or a camera or a coffee table, or a bar, you have this honest interest in what the other person is saying. You make eye contact, you make personal contact. And I just love that. So I was thinking, I wish I could be more like Jim Lanahan. And maybe I'll just hijack his show. And because it's the finale, I think, you know, it's Jim Lanahan and friends, and I'm friends. So Jim Lanahan, I'm going to interview you today and see if I can do you justice.
Oh, my God. Everybody, welcome to the Beth Maitland and Friends podcast.
Ready? Let's go.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us here today on this beautiful afternoon. We have a very, very exciting show lined up for you. And guest here at Beth Maitland / Jim Lanahan and Friends, we have a tradition. We have this whole list of traditional questions that we ask every single guest. And today, please welcome Mr. Jim Lanahan. We are going to find out everything about you.
Well, thanks for having me on, Beth. It's such a treat to be here.
You know, because I know that you've tuned in a time or two yourself, you know that we have this lovely list of questions. We know your name because we just introduced you. Mm-hmm. Where did you grow up and where do you live now?
Well, I grew up in Round Lake, New York, which is about 2 hours north of New York City. And I currently live in Palm Springs, California, which is about 2 hours outside of Los Angeles.
So I know that you're not telling us that you're peripheral.
Yeah. Like to be 2 hours away from a major city at all times, but not too close. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And tell me about the weather. What's the weather like today?
Oh, well, the weather today is gorgeous. It's a little chilly. It's 82 degrees today. Mm-hmm. And we're all wearing our parkas today because it's so cold here. Tomorrow it's going to be 100 degrees and it will be the 24th day that it's been triple digits already this year.
Oh my gosh. And how are you surviving that? Do you like that kind of weather?
Yeah, I just wear a tankini everywhere. You know, I'm working from home. I pull up my tankini and I just go pool, work from home, pool, work from home. No, I mean, it's fine. It's AC, you know, like AC 24/7. And I try to keep my AC high because I don't want a $500 electric bill this month. But if you go to where my mom lives, she cranks it down. I mean, it is 64 degrees in that old folks' home at all times. So, you know, depending on where you go, sometimes it's really cold in the desert.
You know, I grew up in Scottsdale, Arizona. I don't know if you knew that. And so mm-hmm. I can tell you that they don't even call it air conditioning there. They call it refrigeration, don't they? I think Del Webb built all the developments near where you live. He did in Scottsdale also. I'm not kidding. They call it refrigeration, and everybody plans their whole life from going from your refrigerated house to your refrigerated car to the refrigerated office, store, movie theater, wherever you're headed. And they limit the time that they're outdoors to how long it would take for an ice cube to melt. There's a race from one door to the next, am I right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true. It's really true. And I'll tell you this, there is a newscaster here in the Valley, in the Coachella Valley, that will do an ice cube on the sidewalk and he'll do an egg on the sidewalk. And by the end of the newscast, he goes back out and the ice cube has not only melted, but completely evaporated and the egg is over easy.
That's actually really, really fun. Does he do it every single broadcast? Or is it
every triple digit day, you know? Wow. It's really fun, yeah.
Listen, I would love to have you describe yourself. I want you to describe yourself because you put us all through it. Describe yourself in five words or less.
By the way, these questions are incredibly familiar and I'm going to kill Stephanie. So I would say five words or less, practical, smart, non-traditional.
Is a hyphen considered one or two words?
Practical,
smart. We'll give you one. Non-traditional, because I can't wait to hear the other two.
By the way, I was going to toss it to the producers because I don't produce this podcast. So I don't know what your producer of the Beth Maitland and Friends show thinks one word or two.
Because I'm the host.
Okay.
It is considered one word.
Two more. I would say...
It's bloody hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I would say exhausted.
Oh, the other eggs.
Yeah, but that one's important. And then I think also inspired.
Oh, lovely. Okay. That is quite a diverse list. So you are, I know, smart and non-traditional, exhausted and inspired. What was the first one again? Practical.
You're practical. Yeah. Big. Yeah. Hint. I am through and through a Capricorn, right? So I go through my life over planning everything. Okay. You have to get up pretty early to pull the wool over Jim Lanahan's eyes. I usually know the answers to everything before I embark on a new project because no one can do it better than me anyway. I'm quick to roll my eyes. I have a short fuse for like lazy and uninspired. Like I'm quick to be like, thanks so much. Like I'm already tired with you. That's what I meant by exhausted, you know? Okay. And I'm inspired by the silliest things, Beth. Like I will be inspired by like a flower and then I will, you know, paint a project that color, or, you know, I'm inspired by like a song or something. And then I will incorporate that into a personal project. So I find inspiration everywhere.
That's sort of exactly what we were speaking to at the beginning. It's exactly what I was talking about. You have this, if something sparkly crosses your path, you do not miss it. You see it, you acknowledge it. I mean, if you have time to concentrate on it, you do, but if it catches your interest, it carries you away, and it's absolutely engaging to find someone who really does. You said it like a flower inspires you. For someone who really, really means that, what a gift. What a gift.
Yeah. And I find inspiration and relevance in everything, you know, whether if I'm watching you on your show, which you are magnificent on for 38 years, I will immediately have a connection to something that happened in my previous life because you're such a, you know, open, generous actor that I am crying with you. And then even if you're having a scene about, you know, picking a sperm donor, right? I mean, by the end of that scene, Beth, I'm like, I have to call Beth because I'm picking a sperm donor. Like, it's just, and so I am like, you know, easily inspired, I think, because I think I, like you, I know you have this. I keep my mind and my heart very open at all times. And so it's easy to be inspired by things and to take them in. And I think that's what makes us natural creatives.
And don't you think that's so important in every aspect of life, creative or not, to not bury the things that move you, that to be willing to take the risk of being vulnerable in front of people. Mm-hmm. When I was young, I used to go to the movie theater, or to mostly the movie theater, but because I grew up in Scottsdale and it was cool inside. I could be completely transported by anything entertainment. And it wasn't necessarily the escapism they describe, you know, of the movies of the 30s and 40s and what entertainment is all about so we escape our problems for a few moments. It was the ability for something to move me, to make me feel something. And like a flower, a beautiful butterfly was, you know, like the color of a flower for you to paint your project. If something moves you, that's why we're alive. That's what everything is meant to do, is find something, push a button, pull a trigger and make us feel. And I knew from a very early age that I wanted to be an actor. You have done various aspects of the entertainment business yourself. And it's all about having that power to move people. Mm. And You do so with your innocence, your enthusiasm, your inspiration, your smartness, your practicality, your exhaustion. But you have this very special tool set that you bring to make all of us want to listen to what you have to say next. Jimmy, how did we meet, Jim Lanahan?
We met because you were on my Instagram show, which was the precursor to this podcast. And we have some mutual friends, and one of them is the PR person for your day job. So Matt Kane, who is, you know, glorious, and he's lurking here in the background somewhere. He connected us, and I am ever so thankful because you've become one of my favorite people outside of the Young and the Restless to follow you on Instagram. And but still to this day, Beth, like, you'll comment on an Instagram post and I'll be like, oh, it's Beth Maitland. And one day I'm going to see you in real life. We're going to have brunch and it's going to be like old girlfriends, you know, but there's still that thing because I've been watching you for so long. It feels so special. I have such a place in my heart for you. And I've never even seen you in real life one-on-one.
And that's what I'm talking about. It's that power to engage someone. It's that power of connection, that power to make someone feel. It's just magnificent. And I'm so excited that Maddie and Steph got us together. And I can't wait for that day when the world opens up safely and we can be together. I can't wait.
Cannot wait.
No object at all. You know the next question. What profession would you have today? What would you be doing instead of making us feel?
I'd be giving away stuff. So I think my dream job would be to work for Oprah and go around and be the person. Because, you know, Oprah's not leaving the compound, right? So Oprah's in her garden waiting for Harry and Meghan to get out from that interview. And I'm on satellite somewhere in Chicago, maybe. And I'm knocking on people's doors and saying, Oprah's in this camera right here. My name is Jim and I'm here to tell you Oprah's paying off your house. Or Oprah's, you know, bought you the car you need with the lift for the son who has some sort of disability and he is in a wheelchair. Or Oprah has, you know, got you an interview for your dream job. Like, the ability to impact change in other people's lives is so rewarding. I would be incredibly fulfilled and honored to do that.
Wow. That is amazing. That is what have you given all these questions thought? I mean, you seem like you were already prepared. I'm going to pitch you.
Well, I kind of know these questions because these are the questions I asked you when I first met you. But that's the honest to God. I've thought about that question a lot. And that's why that question is in that packet, because I think we should all do something every day that inspires us and challenges us. And I grew up in upstate New York. A lot of the people I grew up with have state jobs. They're working for Andrew Cuomo right now. They are going through the paces at a desk in Albany and they are miserable. I know people that are counting down to retirement and they are 15,000 days from retirement, you know, like, oh my gosh. No. We all should be doing work that we love and that inspires us. I think you are a great example of that, 38 years in a job that you love, you know? And I know you do other work as well, and it all fulfills you. And I think that that is the true key to life. And then surround yourself by people that inspire you and you win.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. I have to say that part of mine is just chasing my job, chasing it and chasing it and chasing it. I'm not there all the time, as you know. And mm-hmm. I think that's part of what, in general, not just being on a soap opera, but in general, acting is something I feel born to do, meant to do. And I'm never happier than when I'm doing that. But it's not easy. And like, if money were no object in your question, what profession would you have today? It's not easy to, even after 38 years, get on the roll to be back there. I've been gone for a really long time this round. And I think that also the desire to do it really thins out the men from the boys, if you will. It really, really does keep in focus what is really important to you and whether or not it's worth pursuing. And and so, as you say, if you know for sure it doesn't, that's a sad story. And evaluation might be in order. Mm-hmm. Okay. One of my favorites, I remember what I told you. Past or present, who would be surprised to hear that you have or have had in the past a crush on them?
Mm. There is a Broadway performer named Norm Lewis, who I think is exquisite. He's magnificent. First of all, he's exquisite to look at. You know, the man's easy on the eyes. But number two, when you hear this man sing, Beth, you will melt. And I've seen him live. I've seen him in every Broadway show he's ever done except for one. And I've seen him in concert more times than I have fingers. And he's amazing. He probably, I mean, there was a period of time where I invented the phrase future ex-husband to describe this man. So I'd be surprised if it didn't get back to him, because Broadway is a very small circle. But so I don't know if surprised is the right word, but yeah, probably Norm Lewis.
Fantastic. I know him well. I don't mean personally. I mean his career and his contribution to one of those things that drew me to being an actor. He is exactly that. Magnificent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fun, isn't it? Okay. So then that kind of is a good segue, because I want to know what movie or TV character, and you can't say Tracy Abbott because I'll pinch you again, most embodies you today.
Oh, there's so many. You know, like,
I had the hardest time, and I don't think I was able to answer, or I've now come up with one, but tell me do your top five, but
it's kind of like what we were saying before, like you can find inspiration in anything and relevance in anything, right? So number one, Kathy Bates in Fried Green Tomatoes. Because, you know, to Wanda, like that spirit of like, you know, I definitely identify with being the chubby one who may not feel efficacious in their environment. And then you find your power and you wield it like a finely sharpened steak knife. You know what I mean? And you come out on top. I have gone through that exercise more times in my life than I can count on fingers and toes, because I've had to kind of find that strength multiple times in my life. And that's just life. I think life throws you curveballs. That's what life is. You overcome them, you go on to the next curveball, you know? So definitely that. Truvy from Steel Magnolias, because I'm everybody's chatty catty best girlfriend. And let's face it, everybody wants to be more like Dolly Parton. But also, like, lately I'm watching Pose, and I think Billy Porter's character is really relatable for a lot of gay men. I'm 47, a lot of gays in their 40s who grew up at a certain time and had conflicted relationships with religion, with their parents, with, you know, what society told them they should be as a man in, you know, growing up in the 80s and 90s. And so... gosh, there's so many. I mean, I want to tell you Flo from One Day at a Time, Kiss My Grits, because I just want to tell everybody off. There's so many, you know?
Wow. That I really had trouble with that question when I was on the other side of the microphone. And I'm so tickled. And there are... I finally came up with one I will share with you. Mary Richards from the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Because I'm at a place like you, a little down the road a bit, and I have, and life has thrown some curveballs. And I just want to be back to the girl who could throw her beret in the air and turn the world on with their smile and just have a carefree spirit again when we have all had to face some real challenges. This last year could not be a better example of how we have had to make lemonade out of circumstances that prohibited even getting a hug from someone. The woman who plays my mother on The Young and the Restless, Marla Adams, told me that it had been over a year since she had touched another person. With the exception of surgery, she had a surgery. And with the exception of that, she said, when they were putting the IV and I grabbed the nurse's arm just to hold another person, And so, I mean, there, we have really faced some challenges in our world. And as we open the world back up to being able to travel and see the people we love and make up for missed holidays and all kinds of missed connection, we also spent this time finding brilliant ways, like this one, for example, to stay connected. We have been forced to find workarounds, and we did. And I think that really needs to be celebrated. So I think that Mary throwing her beret up in the air might be the ticket.
Yeah, I love that. And whenever I go to Minneapolis, I visit that statue, by the way, because that statue of her throwing the hat up is that moment in time that we all wish we could be that girl again. You know, it's a great answer, Beth.
Iconic. Listen, I want to know if you were famous, I mean, more famous than you already are, for what reason would you constantly be in the tabloids, Jim Lanahan?
I would say something crazy, stupid, and inappropriate. And it would be 100% correct. And you couldn't tell me I was wrong because what I said was true. But it would hurt someone's feelings. And then it would be somebody like crazy, like, you know, a reality housewife, or it would be someone like that. And then I would get into a feud and then boom, I'd be on TMZ, like front page of the website. And I'd be looking like Chris Kardashian without makeup, like a little crazy with the hair all messed up. You know what I mean? And they would cut it together so it looks like I'm in a fist fight with the housewife. But really, I've never been to Calabasas. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. And that's the other thing I like about you as an interviewer. You can enjoy talking to another person and drawing them out as much as you enjoy eating an orange popsicle. And you can make them both look like it's the best day of your life.
I mean, I really love a popsicle. You know what I mean? Like a creamsicle, that is a living, you know. It's so funny.
We know you love ice cream. We know you love cold popsicles. Tell me, white meat or dark meat?
Well, I think...
You may have already heard the answer to this question earlier in the interview.
Look at Dr. John. I want to say this. When I go to a fine restaurant like Mimi's Cafe, that is for Dr. John Paul. Or a, you know, if I'm at my favorite restaurant, Chili's Bar and Grill, I enjoy a cut of white breast meat. And I love Norm Lewis.
There you have it.
And yep.
That's your life as we know it. Okay.
Well, Dr. John, did I handle that well?
Somebody needs to pay your PR rep, give them a bonus.
Good. And they have a case of creamsicles. Okay. So what is your favorite curse word? I think I know this one. What is your favorite curse word?
Fuckery. So yeah, isn't that a fresh case of fuckery? Like something comes up every day in my day job because theater people are crazy, Beth, crazy. And so particularly coming out of pandemia, there's always something new. And I'm like, what is this fuckery today? So fuckery. I love it.
It's Shakespearean.
Mm-hmm. It's so good, you know? And I feel like fuckery is a noun, but it could also be a verb. It could be an adjective. It's the aloha of swear words, you know? It means everything.
It's beautiful. It's brilliant. And I may have to needlepoint that on a cushion.
Because I would die.
I am going to adopt that as my new very favorite.
Oh, it's so good.
So, okay, this is really kind of a fun, interesting, I can't wait to hear what you have to say. What is the last text you sent and who did you send it to?
I literally sent it. I sent it to Christine, who is, you know, our co-host here on the show. So Christine dropped off her cat earlier. for a minor procedure, a little checkup. And she said, I have to go back in roughly an hour and pick him up. I might be late. I might have to duck out during the pod, blah, blah, blah. We had talked about this. She was giving me an update. And I had taken a disco nap because I did not sleep well and I'm an elder gay. So when I woke up, it was already like a half hour, 45 minutes later. And so I wrote back and I said, Christine, I'm just seeing this text. The problem is Toby, that's Beth. Toby is the cat. I said, the problem is you never know how Toby's going to behave at the surgical center. Toby might demand new boobs, a kitty titty facelift, you know, a Kardashian butt implant. He's pulled this shit before. Just be on top of it. I literally texted that to Christine. Last text I sent.
Is that true?
Christine, it's true, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not even remotely an exaggeration. Yeah.
And it's sort of like, you know, when they have all those things on social media where they say, you know, what's your drag queen name? Your middle name plus the last word in the last text you sent. So.
Okay. So my middle name is Luther, and the last text I sent was Kitty Titty Implants. So Luther Kitty Titty Implants is my drag name.
I've never heard a better one.
I do have a real drag name, though, picked out. You want to hear it?
I do.
Do you know the name Meaty? It's an Indian girl's name. So it's M-I-T-I, or sometimes it's M-H-I-T-I. So mine is Meaty McTuckins. As you know, it's a play on where drag queens hide their meat, so to speak. Yeah, Meaty McTuckins.
And just like a sumo wrestler, now you know, right? Okay, so I have a bonus question for you. What is your favorite thing about yourself? I've listed many of my favorite things about you. It's your turn, Mr. Jim Lanahan in the hot seat.
I would have to say it's been a really hard 4 years since my mom got sick. And I think when I look back at those 4 years, my ability to just keep pushing has been noteworthy, even to myself. And the way I've done that is, for the first year, I did not pick my head up. And I did not worry about myself. And that was wrong. I learned my lesson quickly. You have to take care of yourself. In order to be there for my mom, in order to keep moving forward with mom's therapies and recovery, I need to take care of myself. And I need to go back to the child I was and find those moments of whimsy that I can just kind of revel in every now and then. So I run really hard, 100 miles an hour, 8 hours a day. And then I try to do something really stupid for myself. And this morning on Instagram, I was talking to the neighbor's cat. Or, you know, I was calling it Betch. And we were having a full conversation and Betch was ignoring me and how dare you. And if I don't like pepper in the silly, I can't keep going in the way I have to. And so the answer to that question is I figured it out for myself. I figured out what works. And people on the outside either think I'm a lunatic or they totally get it and they support me, you know? And, but for me, it's worked and it's allowed me to keep going and be there for my mom.
That's brilliant. That's beautiful. I know that there's a big focus in the world today. And I think the pandemic brought a lot of the other people in the world to the point where they need, in order just to keep their peace, to think about things like this. There's a practice of mindfulness, and there's a lot of, you can, like, everybody had anxiety. So there's all these apps that were developed and are all over the place, guided meditations and calm music to put you to sleep. I didn't sleep for a year. It wasn't just the pandemic. I had a big personal loss and I didn't sleep through the night for a year. And if you are so right, Jim, that if you don't take care of yourself and acknowledge that whatever you're going through is okay, That's the really hard part. There's so many demands on us, and we're supposed to be strong and brave, and we're supposed to, you know, not cry and not hold in our emotions and not be silly and not let that down. We're supposed to be in control every minute of every day. And there's just, it's unhealthful, if not completely debilitating, to shut off real important things you can grow from and learn from. And you are my hero to be able to identify those things for yourself, to be able to embrace that and share it with all of us on your hilarious Instagram posts and your really fun subject matter and chattiness, your fearlessness. You can talk about anything and you will. Just stay tuned. And if you haven't seen it already, he'll be right here with it. And all those things that I noticed just not being a deep part of your life, you give all of that to us in a transparent way that all of us can be inspired by. And I am so honored to be your friend and your interviewer for the day here on Beth Maitland / Jim Lanahan and Friends. I've had so much fun talking to you and learning all these things about you.
Well, Beth, you know, I just think you're the best. And everything you just said to me.
Interviewed the best.
Oh, no. I mean, maybe it takes one to know one, because everything you just said to me, I feel exactly the same way about you. And you wear your heart on your sleeve. And the reason that I have been in love with you on the show for this long is because you are so open and so generous. And I'm not kidding. Like, if I have a major decision to make about who to pick for sperm donor, I'm going to call Beth Maitland. Like, this is my person, you know, like, it's...
I could talk to you all day long about it, but that ship has sailed for me. I'm very sorry.
Okay. We'll talk to your daughter. But it's such an honor to have you here, because I just adore you so much. And I can't, to hear you say those things to me almost feels like I'm going to stop recording later and absorb it. You know what I mean? Because it's almost like, oh my gosh, like it's too much, because I feel that way about you. And I'm so honored that you're here today and that you said such kind things. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. Hey, since it is the season finale, I don't know if you, I wasn't around for the first opening of the show, but do you have future plans you want to tease? Spoiler alerts, maybe, maybe not. Do you have, what's happening next for you, Jim Lanahan?
Well, we're taking the summer off and I'm not thinking about podcasting. I'm going to just clear my brain of that. I'm picking up some more life coaching clients, and the day job is finally picking back up. We're coming out of pandemic and I'm opening shows in August and September. Oh, in July, August and September, which is exciting. And in terms of the podcast, it's going to be a whole fresh format. It's going to be like the best parts of the current, you know what I mean? And then we're going to add some new stuff. And but we really don't know yet, to be honest. That's part of why we're taking the hiatus, because we had all gotten so busy that it felt a little bit like a hamster on a wheel, and there was no time for the creativity around the podcast. We were just churning about. So yeah, it's exciting. It's an exciting time.
It is. I was just going to say that. It's a really exciting time. That's when all kinds of new ideas get a chance to be born and fleshed out, and all kinds of new surprises for your listeners, who I'm sure are as in love with you and charmed with you as I am.
Oh, thank you. I'm just nervous because there's this new podcast out called the Beth Maitland and Friends podcast. And I'm telling you, it's really good. So
it is really good,
competition.
I've heard that it's very similar to the ones that are already out there for us to consume. And I'm a little disappointed that it's just exactly like Jim Lanahan and Friends.
Beth, you're the best. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so appreciative. And everybody, if you do not know Beth's work on The Young and the Restless, you need to go watch The Young and the Restless. So when Beth is on it, because a lot of the COVID times, a lot of the actors are cycling in and out and in and out. But when Beth is on it next, Oh my God, you're going to see a masterclass in acting. And she's become, in a way, the matriarchal energy of that show. Whenever they need a touching moment, they bring in Beth Maitland because nobody delivers it better than Beth. And you will cry. She wears her heart on her sleeve. You will cry. And by the way, it's going to be a fabulous sleeve, usually like a mid-thigh length kimono robe over a shell. And let me tell you this, the bosoms are going to be on point. Okay. The hair is going to be solid. She's going to be serving up mom energy in that kimono robe. It's literally classic Beth. She walks into Crimson Lights and you're like, oh, just sit down and watch. Here it is. Everyone, please, you know, go spend time with Beth and follow her on Instagram because you really do make our lives better. You just remind us what's important, Beth, and your energy is so important to so many of us. So thanks.
Thank you very much. And I'm going to work in tossing a beret one of these days.
Amazing.
You can wear a beret with a kimono. There's nothing wrong with
that. I love Mary would do it. A kimono robe. Yeah. That's hilarious. All right. We love you, Beth. Have a beautiful evening. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Great pleasure. All the best to all of you. And moving forward, I can't wait to see what's next.
Thank you, Beth.
Love you. Thank you,
Beth. We'll see you on Instagram. Mwah, 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 mwah. Bye, honey. And brunch soon.
Bye.
Okay, bye. And thank you, as always, to the amazing Matt Kane over at The Young and the Restless, who always sets us up with Beth. Matt's the best, too. All right, you guys. You surprised me with Beth Maitland. That's Stephanie.
Mm-hmm, sure did.
Oh, that's amazing. I love her so much. I was a little off my game, though. Being interviewed by somebody puts me off my game.
Listen, I wanted to end this season strong. So these two episodes, we're doing it, baby. I brought out the producing skills. And with the aid of my faithful best friend, Matthew Kane, we're making it happen.
That's amazing. Thank you. Thank you to Matt Kane. And thank you, Stephanie. That's awesome. Now, we should have a 60 with Stephanie right now. Do you have some things?
Got some things. I'm ready. Give me one sec to flip pages and then I'm good.
This is good. Stephanie Laffin's opportunity to get it all off her well-developed lady chest. Stephanie, your 60 seconds begins now.
Rocks does still make the spice drops. They're referred to as delectably spicy flavors in peppermint, wintergreen, anise, cinnamon, and clove. They're pectin or gelatin-based dome with a narrow top, approximately 110 pieces in a pound of gumdrops. Flo was actually played by Polly Holiday, was on Alice, not one day at a time. She was on Alice with Linda Lavin, who was the star. But there was also a spinoff called Flo. It was short-lived. She also filled in for Eileen Brennan on Private Benjamin when she was out with injury. Polly Holiday was nominated for a Tony for the 1990 production of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, cast by my former boss, Stuart Howard. She is currently 83 and retired from acting in 2010. This has been 60 with Stephanie.
Forgot to keep track of the time. I had no idea. I just said go. And then I was like, oh crap, I don't have my stopwatch handy. I mean, that could have been 7.5 minutes long. I don't know. I have no idea. You know, it was funny when it came out of my mouth. I said one day at a time. And then I said, Flo, I said, oh, that's wrong. And then I thought, oh, I can't. I don't want to stop Beth Maitland from talking because it's Beth fucking Maitland, you guys. So, you know, I love her so much.
You are obsessed with her. And it was so adorable. I got to tell you, one of my finer moments of producing.
It's not just. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because like, I love her as a human being. You know what I mean? Like I've watched The Young and the Restless since I'm 16 years old. There's other actors on that show. Beth.
None as fine as her.
Beth is in my heart because off screen and on, she's one of the finest in the business. And I just adore her so much. All right, y'all. Well, that wraps up the Monday show. Before we go, I want everybody to know where they can find us on the socials. Christine, you're up first.
You can find me at C Cinecore on Facebook and Twitter. I am at Christine Cinecore on Instagram, and my website is christinecinecore.com.
Has there been an update on Toby? Did Toby get a boob job?
He got some larger testicle implants. Apparently other ones were not to his liking. So
perfect. Perfect. That'll make him so popular in West Hollywood.
Oh my God, they're gonna love him.
Yeah. Are you gonna pick up a new leather daddy harness for Toby to go with his extra large testes?
Well, I'm gonna see how much they kind of swing, if he actually needs anything. Dear God. You know, or if he can just kind of
just kill me. Dr. John, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me stalking Beyonce's Instagram, per usual. She's posting more these days, so that means that something's coming. And you can also find me on social media by using the handle at Dr. John Paul. You can also visit www.drjohnpaul.com.
Scott Sheldon.
You can find me at Scotty Sheldon on Twitter and Facebook, on Instagram at Scott A. Sheldon, and Scotty Sheldon the actor, and my website is scottysheldon.com.
Stephanie Laughin.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Chicky Laugh, C-H-I-C-K-Y-L-A-F-F, and my dog Billy at Billy the Rescue Pup on Instagram.
My name is Jim Lanahan. My primary platform is on Instagram at Jim Lanahan. For my other projects, including life coaching, check out jimlanahan.com. Don't forget, you can see me live every Tuesday evening with Heather Carlucci Medium. We have a Kiki, talk hot topics, current events. And then she does free psychic readings. That's every Tuesday at 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern. And that wraps up the Monday show. We'll be back with you on Thursday, our final show before the summer hiatus. So it's going to be a biggie. Until Thursday, take good care of yourself so you can in turn take good care of others, because that, as you know, is our first and most important job. Bye. I
had to get your attention. Bye. That wasn't hard.
Ta-ta.
Now I just need to mention that you are L-U-C-K-Y, baby, come on. Pussy on fire. You're so lucky tonight, cause I'm giving you the show that you want. L-U-C-K-Y, honey, honey, a little twist and slide. You're so lucky tonight, cause I'm giving you the show that you want. You're so lucky, you're so lucky, lucky. You're so lucky, why are you acting so lucky?
We're a little ahead of schedule, right? No, we're right on schedule.
No, you're right on schedule because, Okay. Yeah, it's 6:20 for 6:30, but I gave you the bump. We planned accordingly for the people's needs. Let's put it that way.
Got you. So 6:20, planning for 6:30 because 6:20 goes snuds. It's Eliza with an S joke. No one gets it except for me.
I got it. I watched Halston. Thank you.